4K OSU. I'm Michael Cross. I'm here along with Jennifer Reynolds. And Jennifer, welcome. It's so good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Now, you are doing a special report for the Oklahoma News Report coming up tonight, Thursday night. Tell me what this is all about.
Well, we'll be at 7:30 on OETA. The story is Dollars for Dimes, how criminal fees may be costing you money. The idea, with criminal fees is that they should be revenue generating. But we got involved in this whole thing trying to look at the issue of criminal fines and fees and how do they affect our incarceration rate. That was the original question, was are our efforts to get owed fines and fees, putting more people in jail, putting more people in prisons, and kind of adding to our incarceration issues. So when we looked into it, and obviously lots of people have kind of looked at this whole issue of the size and the complexity and the efforts at collection of these fines and fees, like the State Impact and Oklahoma Watch. But Oklahoma Policy Institute had come out in February with a really terrific report that kind of began to look at what I thought maybe this was the low-hanging fruit on this issue, is how does it really work as a revenue generating mechanism? And if you look at it in a micro sense, it looks really good. You know, if you say we put these fees, and I want to distinguish off the top between fees and fines. Mm-hmm. Fines being you can serve this much time or you can have this fine. They've always been there. Fines are punitive. They're meant to be punitive. They also raise money for the courts, and they provide an alternative to incarceration. So setting fines aside, then you also have a lot of fees that get added on. Some have been added on by the legislature. Some of them have been added on by sheriff's offices trying to fund their jails. You know, so you pay a jail fee if you're in jail. And when you start looking at the amounts of fees that even a non-a violent offender can rack up, they can be, even for things like petty larceny, if you have look at victims restitution, your the fees that the legislature has put on criminal cases, DA supervision, those sorts of things, you can end up owing in the tens of thousands of dollars on relatively, and I don't want to act like any offense is a minor offense. If somebody stole from you, it's a big deal.
Right.
But on things that are not huge violent felonies.
Right, and last year there were more fees increased by lawmakers. They doubled a lot of our fees, not our fines, but our fees.
Right, and again, there are four bills out there to do that as well. And that's one of the issues, and it has to do with you know, trying to figure out how to fund government. And this is an easy way to do it. Senator Greg Treat, who's carrying a lot of the criminal justice reform measures that came out of the governor's task force, is, you know, very candid on this issue. That he said, you know, it's hard to raise a fee out here, but it's always easy to raise one on somebody who's broken the law.
Right.
You know, nobody's going to really scream about that. And so it has a tendency to be kind of a magic funding button. You know, so when you're looking for funds, it's a fairly easy thing to do, but it's not working very well. I would kind of liken it to a morphine pump. You know, you feel some pain, you punch that button and you feel better, but over time it has less and less effect. And so what we're seeing, Michael, is that you know, and to put this in perspective for you, so if you got a traffic ticket in 1992, the fine was $30. The fine today is $35. The fees in 1992 were $77. The fees today are $230.25. So you look at the size of that ticket now, it's $265.25 for going 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. Well, and as Jerry Askins, who's the administrator of the Oklahoma courts, pointed out, you know, the thinking was, wow, if we're making this much money here, if we triple that, we'll make triple the money. But you don't, because the bigger that ticket gets, the fewer of them get written. Mm-hmm. You know, police officers and troopers, they're not robots, you know, and they look at what a ticket that size is going to do to somebody, and they're less inclined to write them. And so all across the state, and now Oklahoma County tells me tickets last year were up, and they're still up again this year. But the courts assure me that statewide, ticket writing is down. And so what we're seeing because of that, and because of the emphasis now on trying to follow the law and not put people in jail just because they can't pay.
Right.
Because, you know, we're not supposed to run debtors' prisons. So we're trying to the courts are trying to change what they're doing on that, so they're not collecting as much. So all of these fees that places like the Council on Law Enforcement Education and Training are dependent on, the trauma. Trauma care across the state is partially subsidized by these sorts of fees and also a cigarette tax, and it's hugely important to the OU Trauma Center, the only level one trauma center in the state. So, but the gradually, the amounts that these fees are bringing in is going down, so it's not a very dependable revenue source.
Right, and when we do actually arrest someone for it, we might put them in jail for 3 or 4 days, which costs thousands of dollars, to only get a couple hundred dollars back.
If you look at that, for example, yeah, and we have a case of a guy, we start out with this. He's a man who had got his life turned around. He had a pretty, you know, he has a criminal history, but he got things turned around, had a family, had a little girl, started coaching a basketball team. And these kids just adore him. It's a girls' team out of Tulsa. Comes to Oklahoma City for a tournament, gets pulled over for a traffic violation, and they end up taking him to jail on a warrant from 1989. And it was failure to pay only. It wasn't, you know, it was a felony warrant, but it was just for failure to pay. But they took him to jail. He stayed in jail for 4 days, and you're looking at, you know, $40 a night or so to be in the county jail. And then technically what they had thought would happen was that they would have to drive from Pawnee County, where this warrant was from, pick him up, but he might have to wait 10 days in jail till they could get an officer down there and then drive him back and then appear before a judge. And then eventually they did allow him to send someone else to pay, but they had to take cash to Pawnee. And then there was another $100 added on for a collection agency that actually didn't do anything to collect the money. But so, I mean, this is the kind of thing you look at, did that really make any sense? And, you know, right. Captain Paco Balderrama says, you know, we look at that. No, is that the best thing our officers could be doing, was putting this guy in jail for, you know, for a 29-year-old warrant? No.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what do you hope people learn from this special report you're putting out?
I think it's easy. I think for years and years, we've looked at these fees in a micro sense. So we've looked at, yes, they bring money in, and yes, they fund important programs. But if you just look at what they bring in for a state agency, it looks pretty good. If you step back a little bit and you say, what does it cost the county to generate those fees, the courts, the court clerk's office, to track them? And sometimes people are paying these $25 a month for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. What does it cost you to maintain that payment system? In the end, does it actually make money? And I was, to be frank with you, when I started asking the questions about this, let's back way up and look at the big picture of all taxpayers, not just state taxpayers, but let's add in county and municipal taxpayers, the cost of law enforcement. If you back up, you find that this is, virtually everyone agreed. I think one person that we talked to said, no, I think it could work. Almost everybody otherwise said, no, we're not, this is not a net gain for the taxpayer.
And during this time of corrections reform, criminal justice reform, that maybe this is another way that we're not supposed to create debtors' prisons, but maybe that is in fact what we're doing.
We have to be careful of that. And I think, Judge Don Easter in Oklahoma County, and bless his heart, he spent probably 2 hours with me on this topic, maybe longer. I mean, we've spent a lot of time trying to figure out even what questions to ask. And it's clear, we are not supposed to, the law is clear, we cannot incarcerate a defendant for inability to pay. But what the courts have to figure out is who really can't pay, and how do you do that? And then there are those who can pay and those who just can't pay but won't pay. And there has to be some kind of a ramification for the people that just choose not to pay. And then Judge Easter would say there are a lot of people who feel that they can't pay, but it's mostly because they're overextended. They're spending money on other stuff. And he said, so as a judge, I've got to try to look at this and try to make it make sense. But I think there's a growing, because a lot of this, I mean, the New York Times has looked at it. There's no doubt we have been putting people in prison or jail mostly. It's mostly jails. Where this is really costing money and backing up is in the jails. And that's part of the problem, because that's a county expense. So the state looks at it and says, well, it's making us money, but county taxpayers are paying for it. And so I think if we're going to look at taxpayers, we got to look at the whole group of them and not separate them out into parts and say, well, it's working over here for these taxpayers, but maybe not at the county level or the municipal level. And again, you know, I think your time at criminal justice reform, one of the things I think that's most important is that we don't allow this to be a situation, and this is what I would encourage people to watch for, that we kind of scrape some of these problems from the state's plate over down here onto the counties, because they are absolutely strapped as well. Mm-hmm. And they have fewer ways to generate revenue than the state does. So I didn't want to, you know, come down like a ton of bricks on all these people for trying to collect these fines and fees, because that's what we have asked them as citizens to do. They've been criticized in the past for not getting fines and fees collected, for not serving warrants. So I just wanted to sit down with them and say, let's all look at this without pointing finger of blame at anyone. It's really no one's, maybe it's everybody's fault. I mean, we're all in this together as a community, but does it really work when we look at it? And generally all of them just shook their head and said, not really. We could do this in a different way.
Deal.
Anything? What that different way is, you know, that's a whole nother 30 minute show.
What's next? Are you guys got another more reports coming?
We do. We're going to try to do them semi-regularly, and we're trying to figure out, you know, what it takes to get the, you know, get a half an hour on and make it something new and meaningful, and how often we can do it. And so, yes, I tend to, as soon as we get this out, and you know how that is, Michael, you do this, and there's another 30 minutes I could just do on this topic right now, things I couldn't get to or things I just have questions about. I think you're not rid of me yet.
Every time you ask, oh, who can we go to for more answers? There's just more answers that came up.
Right, and you think you got it, and then someone raises a point, and you think, oh, dang, that's really important.
30 minutes.
Yeah. So it takes
that's
on a
great,
life of
though.
Its
own. So we could actually see several reports coming from on just different issues, maybe criminal justice, sure, but many others as well.
It could be anything. And I think, generally speaking, the main thing we want to do is just sort of, if borrow the term deep dive, you know, just do a longer form look at things that will add some locally generated news at OETA. I think that's what they're really trying to do, is provide some news resources. And it's courtesy, you know, thank goodness for all the people out there that send in contributions, because that's what's funding it. And same thing, you know, for you guys, you know, those loyal listeners and viewers that step up and support public broadcasting. So I'm excited to be back, you know, because I started out in public broadcasting at KOSU. So I'm glad to be back in public broadcasting.
Yeah, well, that's, and you're, as you
I
were
don't know
saying,
why I ever left. I keep asking myself this question.
But you're also back at hard news reporting. You said that was a little bit more difficult to do.
It was.
To get back from.
I really didn't expect. I'm very, pretty rusty. But, I, you know, after 14 years of doing Discover Oklahoma, which was always fun, always happy, you know, there's, you don't, you're not really trying to dig in and, you know, what's this? What are you really putting in those burgers? You know, I mean, it's, you're just talking about, it's just fun and easy. And so I found on my first few Discover Oklahoma stories, I was a little too hard news-ish. You know, I had to kind of dial it back a little bit and get a little, you know, a little happier. And so I'm finding the opposite now. You know, I'm bebopping in on these stories, and, you know, and I'm just, hey, tell me now, what do you do here? You know, and I thought, okay, you got to kind of dial it back up a little bit.
Be a little more serious. And
but
more,
yeah,
yes,
more yeah. serious. But I do think, too, with all of these people, my intent was really not, I think we're doing too much blaming and not enough just collaborative thought. Just if I'm not blaming you, if I just can ask you honestly, does this work? And if not, why not? And what can we do? Then I found that people just suddenly opened up with ideas and thoughts about it. And once they got past the defensive shell of, no, it's good, it's great, it works fine, then they opened right up, and they were really thoughtful and had great ideas. And they were, I think I was really amazed at how extremely candid people were. I was really grateful for that.
Good deal. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.